I'm Cray Beaumont Flynn. Welcome to Beyond the Design, a show that gives you a peek behind the curtain of the design industry and shares the stories of those that are the driving force behind it. Well, on Beyond the Design today, we have Ashley Evans, Head of Design with Basil Studio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Fantastic. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a bit about the origin of the studio and how it evolved into a design, build, and fabrication firm?
Yeah. So I think, some of the background for Paul Basil, who's the owner and principal, is actually some of the most inspiring conversation, I think, to have, too. He started off doing furniture design and essentially as an artist. And that was, 30 plus years ago. Mm-hmm. And eventually kind of started to realize, you can make furniture for a space, that furniture starts to bleed into the rest of the space, being hired by other architects to do small one-off things. And then it turned into, well, wait, maybe I can do this whole space altogether. I can make all the really cool stuff.
Right.
And go down that path. And I think what some people don't know is, it's definitely a much more unconventional path. He got his general contractor's license, and then through designing furniture and taking over spaces, the company just grew. And I think Bankers Hill Restaurant, which is now Books and Record, if you're ever in San Diego, was open for many, many years, but that was one of the first full spaces that he did. And it kind of started the sort of urban, chic, industrial look many years ago and kind of built it from the ground up. And from there, I think it started to blow up. And now here we are as, Basil Studio 30 years later and able to still design amazing restaurants and moving into all sorts of new things.
Can you highlight some of the other notable projects that you've actually worked on, both in the diversity of your design and fabrication capabilities?
Yeah. So I think most of our known work is here in San Diego. We worked with Consortium Holdings, which is an amazing operator here in San Diego. They have great vision for their spaces. And so some of the spaces with them, I think that everybody knows, are Born and Raised, Morning Glory, Ironside, which is actually one of my favorite restaurants to go to. And those, I think, are on top of that, there's several others, but those three, I think, are diverse enough to show that with a great operator and an owner also that mm-hmm. will allow us to explore a vision and it allow us to essentially prototype our ideas. Those three very distinct concepts have allowed us to design, think very outside the box and very whimsical, but also very practical, which is strange. And then figure out how to build it. So our fab floor and our shop team, essentially works hand in hand with our design team and our engineers and then builds literally everything that you see in those spaces. So I think that makes us incredibly unique in that way that, the details come in the fabrication side of it. Where normally mm-hmm. I think a lot of design firms, you have to create a base and then send it out and hope Correct. That you get what you right. want. So I think those three really stick out. And we also, on top of other really amazing clients too, I think all of the Puestos have, it's a Mexican chain restaurant. They have really allowed us to explore our mechatronics and digital side and how we want mm-hmm. things to move and kind of explore more of a tech side to our design, which has been really amazing. And so they're up and down Southern California. And I think between the two of them, they've really brought our portfolio to life.
Now, are you geared towards one sector or do you actually put your hands on a lot of various other components and sectors within the design industry?
So we have been able to the last maybe 4 or 5 years from hospitality, branched out into private residential, expanded hospitality to hotels, hotel design. Not only the rooms, but the amenity spaces, mm-hmm. clubs, lounges. So we've definitely moved beyond just restaurants. And especially, now looking at ground up residential is a new ballgame for us. And it's pretty exciting.
Are you doing spec homes or?
Yeah. And, they're definitely not the norm. I think that's kind of been a grand vision to, we all want to create something really beautiful. And I think to be able to take an aesthetic that we may have and apply that to an overall home and structure is going to be really cool. So keep an eye out. There's a few happening in San Diego now.
Fantastic.
That are homes that hopefully one day I can afford to live in.
Is there a specific Basil design aesthetic, a signature look?
You know, I think it's, I think people would probably be quick to say that it's along the lines of an industrial chic look. I really don't think that's what it is. I think that we've always had some base principles of wanting to take raw materials, whether that be steel or brass or copper, hardwoods. And we try to stay away from things very manufactured if we can. So being able to take just really simple materials and turn that into something is really what I think people notice throughout each design. So you won't see too many things that are very trendy or too poppy. You know, we want it to be very classic. And I think the materials and figuring out how to use them is what creates it. So hopefully people see that thread, you know, when they're looking at our portfolio online and going through the different spaces, that it's really, it's not that much, but you create a lot with it.
How does Basil Studio approach the creation process from concept ideation to final fabrication?
Yeah. Okay. So start that one a little over. I would say if we have the right operator, especially as a client, and they have a strong vision, that always helps because that will help guide us. When it's us as the driving force behind
it,
that has actually been the big learning curve, but the exciting part. So we, you know, have learned that we have to initially come together and say, what are our like must haves in a project? What is otherwise we could just keep designing and designing. So, you know, we've learned over the years that if we can set a few, you know, pillars for the project, whatever they may be, based on that, it allows us to actually focus a lot on the function of a space. And I don't think everybody realizes that, you know, while we create some really, really beautiful spaces, the function of it is so important. So as long as we're always coming back to that, the flow of how service works, if it's a restaurant, the flow of how somebody lives in it, if it's a house, and making sure that different design elements, you know, cater to many different functions. So as long as we always are kind of constantly coming back to that, the design process can be a lot more fun than just kind of, you know, spinning out of control and designing everything that you want. So we're always not only coming back to that, but thinking of how it's built and thinking with the end in mind. So we kind of say that a lot of like, just think about the final day that this is even being installed. Like, how are you getting this through the door? How is someone building this? How long is it going to take? Which I think is different from how I had designed in the past. It's just kind of like, it'll work out. You really have to think about it in the beginning, and it's able to shorten up the design phase a lot, actually, in the overall project, I think.
Since you guys are doing residential and you do fabrication, are you looking to launch your own brand and collection to the market?
Yeah, absolutely. So Basil has also been partnered up with Basil Wilson, who's Jules Wilson interior design firm, amazing, beautiful firm. Paul and Jules have been partners for a while now. And so I think collectively trying to bring forward the Basil Built brand, which is our items that we've created for other spaces and selling those at more of a commercial level. And then partnering up with Jules to be able to kind of see that all come full picture within our collective projects. So yeah, hope I answered that.
Yeah. Will that be directly to the wholesale market or to the end user?
Both. So, you know, we just started off right now. We are launched on First Dibs, including our own website of Basil Built. So right now, you know, we have a collection of items that we've built before, you know, that kind of stand the test of time, tried and true Basil design. We'll keep adding to that library. But ultimately, I think first we want to see people using them, you know, in their design space as on a commercial level. We had originally started thinking, you know, designers designing for designers. That was always our problem when we would go look for a light or a chair or something. And maybe it wasn't as beautiful as we wanted it to be, considering that it was, you know, commercial product, or maybe not as unique. So we were really hoping that we could design a few things that any you know, restaurateur even can just buy themselves and kind of add something a little bit more unique to their space. That was the goal. So I think we're getting there.
Fantastic. It's a process. It's in itself, actually. In the realm of design and build, how do you balance functionality and aesthetics in your projects?
So I think that, you know, it's kind of similar to before, is when we're figuring out how to build it is when we find these unique little details that we can add, whether it's like the joinery or just speeding up the process in general. So it ends up being a surprise every time. You know, you can have a basic function, and then the moment you have to figure out how to build it, it really adds a new detail. You know, we'll bring on new designers and stuff. And I wish I could say that we did a table the same time every time.
Right.
We don't. It seems so simple, but there might be some base things to it. But once you get a chance to add in some, like a new piece of machinery that we got for the shop, it changes the whole game. Because we're like, well, how can we use this new laser cutter in a unique way to make a table more interesting, all the way up to the, you know, a structure of a building? So the tools are what really make it, which is really interesting too. I've learned a lot more about actual fabrication and tools that I thought I would probably never learn anywhere else.
Collaboration seems a crucial part, especially in design and build. So how do you build upon that collaboration and foster it with your team members and clients?
So we're always in a constant, I would say, growth in trying to figure out how to best structure our team, whether that's because we have new designers, new clients, or even new technology that we're using. Mm-hmm. So we're constantly trying to think of how to best structure our team in the sense that it's not super traditional. And we want to keep our design team small. It allows us to pump out a lot of good work. Mm-hmm. So the collaboration side, as you said, is incredibly important. We have a very slow hiring process. In that sense, we want to make sure it's the right fit for us, right fit for you. And that, you know, we can all come with, that's the best way to say this, we can come with a somewhat thick skin and know that we're all there to create something incredibly beautiful at a fast pace. So how you communicate becomes incredibly important. And I think as a team, for probably the last maybe 7-8 years, and then even sped up even faster the last few years, we've brought on certain coaches, business coaches. Our CEO, Chuck, if you have a good chance to meet him, has been a really integral part of how our growth of a team and generally how our communication happens, because otherwise it would just go to chaos. If he ever watches this, I want to make sure it gets a lot of credit, you know. And I think Paul too, of working on how to work with new designers, keep the same thread, and also like move us forward. So for us, it's genuinely how we're going to talk to each other becomes incredibly important. You know, we can create all sorts of ideas. That's not a hard part. Everyone's creative. It's how we like receive them and how we discuss them in a impactful way, I should say.
Yeah. What is the outreach or reach of your projects? Is it basically in the Southern California region, or do you do a little bit more national projects?
So we got pretty lucky the last few years. We were able to spread our wings a little bit, and we were able to work on a Moxie Hotel in New York, Williamsburg. We were able to open up a restaurant in DC now. Vegas, we had a bar there. And then we actually did a project in Belgrade, Serbia that unfortunately we're not able to go visit. So we did not do the fabrication on that one. That would be one that we were not able to do, but we were able to work closely with their design team and their fabricators to get it built. So it looks really great. It's called Buena Vida. It's on our website, but that was kind of our first big move to just try something, send a design out and kind of hope that it works.
Hopefully
it
came best.
Yeah. And it came out great. Their team was amazing. It's beautiful.
Fantastic. How does the studio stay inspired ahead of design and trends in the ever evolving world of fabrication and design?
You know, I think like everybody, we, you know, go down a rabbit hole of looking at Pinterest and Instagram and kind of finding that inspiration. You know, even when we start our design process, very typical, open Pinterest, make a board. But then we like to pick it apart and kind of start to bring it back to the principles of what we do want to design, which are going back to using raw materials and figuring out how to build it and figuring out how to make it a little bit more timeless. So that is part of the design process also, that make that board and then rip it apart and find the little pieces that you like so that it's not too incredibly on trend. We want to always be up with the times, but we want to make something true to ourselves too. And, you know, sometimes that's just changing the color on something, keeping it more simple.
So and being then, ahead. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and then the biggest giveaway sometimes, not to rag on any, you know, materials, but when we're looking at, especially like spec items, if they're very expensive, a square foot, then we immediately think, well, we can make that. And we, and so then the challenge comes of like, well, how can we make this a little bit faster and a little bit different and like more affordable? So
right.
It's almost like a challenge. I think everyone has to really thrive on healthy competition.
Is there any projects that are very close to your heart that you've completed?
Yeah. All of them, obviously.
All
but,
of them.
but I would say, you know, for the projects that I had a heavy hand in that I was lead on, born and raised in San Diego, was the first project that I was design lead on and probably not ready for it at all. But it came out beautiful. You know, it's something I think really, really commendable and something that I'm incredibly proud of to look at as the whole team. But after that, there's actually a restaurant and bar called Cowboy Star that's actually down the street from me. And I think that that holds just such a special, special dear place. Not only because I think I'm there far too many times during the week, but it was such a puzzle of a project. This space is small. We created something really, really beautiful with lots of copper detail, redid their entire bar, but there was more of a strict budget on that project. And we wanted to do our best to hold to it. And I think that having that sort of, I don't want to say constraint because that sounds bad, but having those sort of parameters made it such a puzzle that it made it more fun. And it came out so great and stayed true to their brand. And, you know, they're packed all the time. So true to the locals, because before it was great place, great food, but, you know, the design was kind of lacking. And you don't, when you tell someone you're redesigning it, it tends to make them mad. So everyone comes back and it really turned out great. So hopefully you guys get to show those visuals because it's a fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So when you step back, what do you see sets the firm apart from others?
I think honestly, it goes back to the fabrication. I think the ability to be able to see a design. So I think everyone's creative. Everyone, you know, in the creative industry, you can come up with all outlandish designs. And but being able to have a team behind us or ahead of us that can actually help us build it changes our way of thinking and educates the designers in a way that I don't think always happens in traditional architecture firms. And that I think sets us apart the most.
Since you do quite a collective, various amount of stuff for one firm, how do you keep on the cutting edge of everything?
So I would say, I want to give Paul a lot of credit. He's probably like the most fearless designer out there and just constantly wants to try new things and wants new machinery and try something new. Just alone seeing the company grow to be kind of design and some fabrication, then it turned into having an engineering department. Then our actual fabrication team turned into bringing that. Everything we can do in-house comes in-house. Upholstery, finishing, laser cutting, everything that we can do. So I think just kind of constantly seeing someone else do something. And then we think, well, how can we do that?
Better.
Yeah. In a healthy, competitive way, not in a like we're better than you way, but in a healthy way of like, how can we learn and figure out how to do that versus trying to find somebody else to do it? Is a certain mindset. I think having that as the principal and owner of the firm really drives that. So if you can get on board with that, then you'll love it. Yeah. You know,
so
kind of wanting to change.
So what's next for the studio?
Well, I think, you know, with Basil Built, getting that pushed off, that's, you know, the bigger dream and kind of that's been happening for a while. So we're getting some good traction. But right now, you know, we're going into ground up development, as I mentioned, with the housing. But then also owning and operating restaurants that we're building. So, you know, Basil Studio.
You got your feelers everywhere.
Yeah, we got them everywhere. So, you know, Basil Studio has been, owned some restaurants in the past and is, you know, has some ownership in some now. But now we're going into just, this is a Basil Basil restaurant. So actually that's partnered up with Jules Wilson. So Basil Wilson, developing, owning, and designing these restaurants and then operating them. So first one will be in La Jolla. It's called Rose Acre. Keep an eye out. I'm involved in that design, and I think, you know, really, really excited to do something that is for us, by us, and in San Diego again. Kind of feels nice to kind of bring it all back, take what we've learned in some of these other projects and apply it here.
So given that F&B is a very distinct mindset, are you also working on the culinary aspects, the menu of each of the ones that you own?
Yep. It's coming full circle on this one. Wow. You know, normally it's new for me. I know it's not exactly, you know, new for Paul, but it is new for me because normally the owner operator is kind of taking care of that side and we'll view it and discuss it. But now really seeing it from the very first conversation, and seeing that all come full picture and, you know, interviewing chefs and, you know, seeing the team really take on a project of the scale is pretty amazing.
So what's the aesthetic feel and tone, and what's the brand that you're trying to in this new restaurant?
I would say, you know, so La Jolla, if anyone's, you know, familiar with the area, it's probably the next spot to get a lively restaurant scene without turning into a party scene, which sometimes happens in San Diego. You know, other places are a little oversaturated, but there is a clientele there of, you know, people moving there and, you know, starting families and wanting a place to go that you don't have to fully leave the area. It's kind of difficult to get in and out of, you know, a hill in the way. So this area is kind of, you know, just really calling for a higher end, but I would say more approachable food scene. You know, nothing too stuffy. It's still a beach town. It's, you know, it's still San Diego, but really good quality. And we think the dining experience itself is where we really want to focus in making sure that this feels, you can feel the quality in the design and in the food. It'll be more seafood coastal. And then, but it also feels very approachable and not too stuffy. And the design aesthetic itself will kind of be this epitome of the kind of basil details. You know, so I think you'll see, it'll just go back to the principles of a lot of raw materials, steel, I can't even describe it because I'm like, well, how do we do this now? It's going to literally be each item in the project, which is part of our design process. And we're going to go in and add all these cool little details, things that move up and down, whether it's even places like store your stuff at tables and making sure that everything feels very almost customized to the user and to the guest when they're there. So I'm really excited to see the types of little detailing that we do to tailor to each guest that comes in.
Fantastic. Well, I look forward to going there next time I come down to San Diego.
Awesome.
Since you're getting your feet wet in the residential component, is there a set design aesthetic that you're trying to achieve? Or is it going to be dependable on location and the property and topography and everything else?
Probably a little bit of a combo, but I think that there is an overall aesthetic that will make a Basil Wilson project come through. I think that the idea of sort of building with nature and applying to the topography will always apply when we're there. We always want to make sure that we're bringing in, you know, views and, you know, catering to what's around. You know, we're not big on a lot of drywall. So, you know, a lot of steel, a lot of glass. I think that a great inspiration is Olson Kundig, which is a firm that we, you know, really love and admire. And so I think kind of taking cues from that, being able to still use, raw materials, but bigger, have bigger moves within the architecture and expose structure is something that we really value. So there'll be a common thread for sure with every project. And yeah, again, I think actually now that I say it, it's like the exposed structure is something that we really harp into and value in any design on any scale, whether it's residential or going back to a table. Like we want to see how things are built.
And now going back to the table, what is the aesthetic feel and tone you would say the furniture collection is?
I hate to use industrial chic because that's not it.
How about California industrial chic? California, there you go.
You know, it's like it keeps coming in my head. I'm like, oh, I got to get that out of my head because it's not even what we're saying. Right. Yeah, I think that there is a certain heaviness to everything that we do that ends up being balanced with a lighter material and with mm-hmm. the detailing. I think when people think of steel and wood, that it can be something very heavy and very unapproachable. But I think that we value a scale and valuing like the lines that you're going to see in any sort of thing that we design. And that tends to give it a little bit of a lighter feel. So a nice balance with that heaviness.
Now, who comes up with the designs and actually sketches them out and develops them and makes them into obtainable objects? Is it a set team, or does it come from Paul or someone else? And how does that process continue forward?
So I think that, you know, obviously the main driving force and, you know, thread it has been Paul Beazle. But what we've been able to do over the years, especially as a design team and having engineering fabrication, is really looking to the team for where their area of expertise is to help move an item forward. So whatever it is that we're designing, you know, we hire designers on for their skill set and how that we feel they can help move, you know, our story along. So I think once a designer comes on, kind of gets their feet wet, kind of learns the process and how to, you know, manage a project and move it forward. Now you can come in, you see how you learn how to build things. That makes the design process early on not have to rely so much on Paul. So we can now have a back and forth instead of waiting, you know, just, you know, for one idea. We know how to think for the better of the company and for the better of like how to build it. We keep coming back to like, how do you build it? And it makes the designs a lot stronger. So we can actually, you know, propose some things and be like, okay, what do you think about this? So we've been able to grow the team in a way that Paul can be more of a creative director in that sense. And then the team can collaborate and come up with some ideas.
Is there a particular project type that you guys have not done yet that you really want to?
Personally?
Yeah, sure.
I would love to do a museum.
Really?
Yeah, I would. Wow. I think that that's been on my brain probably since, you know, maybe before college. And someone actually mentioned it the other day. Of like, oh, what if we did a museum? And said, yeah, absolutely. I think the lighting, and I think Beazle would actually do a really, really good job at that. Mm-hmm. Lighting, ambient lighting is something that we're always looking at, even with our like actual physical lights, like trying to hide bulbs and just make something feel really moody. So I think a museum would be amazing to do.
So as a firm, same question, is there a sector that the firm wants to try its hand out?
I mean, it might even be that. Who knows?
Yeah. But
I don't think that anything is off the table as we move forward. You know, whether it's, you know, education or, you know, more of a public work sort of project. I don't think anything's off the table at all.
That's good.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, Ashley, and tell us about the studio and what you guys are doing? And
yeah, I mean, I think, you know, overall it's, we're on a really good trajectory and kind of hitting a really good rhythm right now, you know, with work and where our team is at. And, you know, kind of, I think the last few years, obviously everyone's gone through some things with what's been going on and what happened in the world. And I think being able to come out of what could have been a really, really scary time for our company, we actually came out a lot stronger. We were able to keep projects, keep everything moving, and learn a lot while we did it. So, you know, I'm really excited for where we're going in the next few years, especially with the Beazle Wilson development side. It makes it really exciting. It's kind of lighting a new fire, I think, under both teams to come together and see some things built in San Diego that are by us. So
what inspires and motivates you?
A deadline? Okay.
Would that motivate? I guess it would.
Yeah. I was like, I can do that. Yeah. adrenaline. No, I think in all fairness, I think what really does is I constantly want to be designing something. And I think that the biggest thing I've learned since going to school for architecture and then going to Beazle Studio is that design is going to take on so many different forms. You know, I thought I was going to graduate and go work for some sort of firm designing high rises, or I don't know what that looked like. And I landed at Basel in this way that I didn't expect, and I just loved it. And that was 9 years ago now. Wow. So seeing that the design can apply in such a macro to micro, I've been more inspired by learning all of that and then wanting to see like, okay, what is the new thing that we can design? It's been a complete game changer to know that there's just design is absolutely everything, whether you're designing a building or like a pen holder. It just doesn't matter. So I get really motivated and excited when we get to a new project and just think about like, okay, what's the new thing we can put in here that hopefully like the owner also didn't even think of. I think that's right. The most exciting part when they had no idea that that's what we could have offered of some sort of design solution. Like, yep. Okay. New puzzle. Yeah. New problem.
Since Basel is located in California, how important is sustainability to all aspects of your design and build and fabrication?
Oh, I love this conversation. I also teach at New School of Architecture, which is down the street.
Oh, wow.
And so a lot of my students ask about sustainability. Mm-hmm. And so we often kind of lead some of these conversations. And I think that we are obviously very lucky to be in Southern California where we can open a window and it's no big deal. You know, necessarily need AC all of the time. So from an energy standpoint, we've been extremely spoiled and not had to exactly always think about that as the same way that you would in other places. But as a sustainable factor for Basel Studio, I think that there's, an argument to be made. I'm sure some people may disagree with me, but an argument to be made that because of the way that we build and what we want to build with and taking the raw materials and cutting out some steps of making things go through a manufactured process and trying to order things locally and then build them ourselves. And then also build them well with a timeless notion in place. So it's like the material that's going into it and then the motivation to make sure that you're making something that's going to be around for, 10 plus years. I think that all of it plays into how something can be sustainable. So even when it comes down to the clients that we're going to work with, making sure that they have the right business plan and working with them to help them to see that, like, how can your restaurant, which is very hard to do, to make it past 2 years, let alone five, and then seeing these ones go on for 10 plus years, that's the goal. And so if we're constantly thinking like to keep things relatively simple and true to what we do with a good plan, will help with that sustainability factor. So it really bleeds out to everything. And then, obviously we can go down into, the building systems that we use and the materials that we use, all come into play. We don't want to be wasteful. We want to get the max yield even on our materials.
Right.
So it has allowed us to see that there is an aspect of sustainability from business plan to just final execution. It's not just, the orientation of the building or things like that. So I have that conversation with students a lot. And like, it's not just turning the building this way.
Right.
It's not just adding an overhang. I promise there's more. It's extremely complicated.
A little bit more.
It's so complicated. And, you just try to implement wherever you can to make something a lasting quality product. Mm-hmm.
Since it's a little bit more in depth in California, especially Southern California, is there still a learning curve in teaching the clients that you have of sustainability and how they benefit from it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that even when I go back to the idea of just a business plan, when you can show that something will last a lot longer, people tend to get pretty excited about that, shelf life on something.
Right.
You might be spending a little bit more money on this product, but you also won't have to replace it in a year.
Exactly.
You won't have to replace it in 5 years. And that's another motivator for why we often do want to make the things that we're seeing, because we want to give them an aesthetic, factor also. And then not have to rely on, replacing a wallpaper every so often or something down to the minute like level, that if we can make something really beautiful and timeless with some raw materials and hard materials, you don't have to replace those for a really long time.
Correct.
And,
it's bought itself. The worth and the cost has already paid for itself.
Yeah. So it's like the trendy tiles that, you know, when it comes down to the interior design side of things that we do, it's like the real trends. That's a motivation to not completely go into them when we can avoid it, because if they have to tear that out later, it's a real bummer. You know, we don't want clients to do that. And I think that they appreciate that and they like that about us. They want something unique also, you know, they're spending the money. So make it unique.
So for the audience listener that's never heard of Basil Studio, what's your pitch?
Oh God. I should have been prepared for this. For a
client or for someone that wants to move to Southern California and San Diego and be an employee.
I would say for all that, you know, whether you're a client or designer, engineer, fabricator, anyone on the team, you know, being a part of Basil Studio, working with Basil Studio is really kind of that one-stop shop. And, you know, we're thinking about things from beginning to end, business plan as owner operator of restaurants. Right. And then as the, you know, contractor, installer, you know, there's a real full picture, of services, you know, that we provide. So I'd say that to any sort of client. and, you know, we want to bring, you know, your design vision to life in a way that you probably never thought of. So if we can build that trust with an owner and kind of, you know, say like, hey, let us run with it a little bit. I promise you're going to be, you know, blown out of the water with design while we're thinking about all the factors. And I would say, you know, to any, you know, future team member that, If you are willing to think outside the box, for lack of better words, you know, as cliche as that sounds, if you're willing to think about all the factors and can really, you get excited about that, then we're the right team. You know, if you want to think about more than just your role and think about all the, you know, departments within our company and how to build it, and if you like problem solving in a way that you never thought of, that's probably it. I always like to tell people, you know, I think you can be prepared to come work with us. And then you're like, oh, wait, this isn't what I thought it was. Right. And I think that almost every day for the last 9 years. And it's kind of, no, I swear, like, I think constantly, well, we have a joke like when we're designing, and I'm like, I didn't think that's what I'd be working on today. And it'll be the funniest thing. It's just like, if someone asks, like, I wish I could give some examples, but did you think you'd be designing a cage for a lion up on a ceiling today? No, I did not think I'd be designing a cage for a lion up on a ceiling today. But I did. that's that. It was a fake lion, if that helps.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's like, well.
Full lion. Taxidermy lion.
you want to do museums. Now you're doing zoos, but okay.
Yeah. Taxidermied lion. you know, it's kind of just a surprise every day. And then you're like, oh, okay, this is what I'm designing today. And it's sometimes the wildest stuff. So.
Since you're a one-stop shop, has there ever been a project in particular that took a mind of its own and it was set to go in one direction? And then as the team stood back, you're like, no, we need to go in this direction.
Ooh, probably all the time. But if we get a chance to show you stuff later, there's actually a project happening right now, which I wish I could show some details, but we have... a particular element that we're designing in this, and we're fabricating and building it. And we really, really thought that we knew how to do it. We had a plan. Right. Plan was not working. It was not working at all. Schedule, money, the whole part of it. And so we had to regroup. We've actually decided we're going to try to outsource this particular part of the project. Then that was not working. So now we are in-house again, and we've bought like new 3D printers to do this project and some new tools.
Fun.
So yeah, so it's working out for the better. Right. And our engineers, that are heading that part, and designers are learning a lot more about this than we ever thought we would be learning. We really did think that it would be so simple, and we had a plan. It's a pretty complicated design. It's like a ceiling element in this project. It's pretty massive, and we were very, very wrong. So that happens, I think, sometimes just on a fabrication scale.
Absolute challenges, consistent challenges.
Yeah, the challenges that happens, I think, on a bigger scale for the totality of a project. We haven't knock on wood, which I don't have any around me, but haven't been too derailed. You know, we're always very pleasantly surprised where the project goes. So we're very open to finding new details, not being too, you know, pigeonholed to a concept of a project. We want to be open to the design changing. So that hasn't really been thrown us for the loop. It's more of when we get to the nitty gritty of how to build it. Sometimes, sometimes we have to regroup completely and realize that we got to learn something new very fast.
Is there one particular project that you can think of from Basil Studio that is the epitome, the legacy project to date?
Ooh, I don't know if anyone's going to agree with me on this one.
You can do one or two, three maybe.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's going to agree with me, but there's, okay, I'm going to pick two for different reasons.
Okay.
So I think that Banker's Hill that opened, or you know, years and years ago, it was such a great story of hearing Paul and then Tony, who's been on our fabrication team and part of Basil since the very beginning with Paul, and still is, that they did it just essentially them two and built this place, and it lasted for years. So I think that that just encompasses everything that, you know, Basil can and wants to do, in the sense of just, what's the challenge? How do we do it? We're going to make a really cool thing with just our bare hands and then figure out how to do this. And it's going to be great.
Hey.
And so whenever, you know, they tell stories of how they did that, I'm like, that's how you guys made that? You guys like scraped that bar face, you know, on your hands and knees and then figure out how to make this texture. So I think that stories like that encompass the spirit of what we never want to lose. And
absolutely.
Not
yeah.
Something. And then as a more developed project, you know, I think that actually Born and Raised was an incredible change in how we did things. We normally left things a little bit, that it's probably the almost the anti, cause it's not industrial. It's right. All wood. And it created a completely new challenge. We used to do a lot of projects with, you know, exposed open ceilings. This was our first very hyper detailed project, where we essentially touched every single surface and closed up every part of the building and learned a lot more, you know, on how to work with wood. And then I think last but not least, I think that the Puesto projects, as a total have been a pretty tried and true of keeping that experimental side to Basil Studio, keeping things a little bit more industrial and a little bit more raw, but then finding new details on how to use them. So I think that, you know, Puesto has allowed us to really grow our brand and show like what we can do, in a kind of, you know, Basil-esque way.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ashley, I appreciate your time today and joining us on the show.
Yeah. Thank you. I love doing this.
And the much, much more success to you and Basil Studio as you move forward and trajectory going, you know, up and beyond.
Awesome. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, we'll talk soon and thank you again.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.